We are very happy to welcome Cameron Sears to our broadcast. Cameron is the executive director of the Rex Foundation and as such knows a great deal about the Grateful Dead's history of philanthropy, which is what landed us all here at the Music Cares Gala.
I guess that's actually the case, isn't it, David?
And Cameron, we should also, to fill in the blanks, long time survivor of the Grateful Dead as a member of their management team, manager, road manager, regular manager, manager of several post-Grateful Dead incarnations, and he lived to tell the tale, and he moved on to become, as David said, executive director of the Rex Foundation, which was, in a sense, the Grateful Dead inventing a new kind of rock and roll philanthropy.
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's kind of prophetic that they're in this position tonight, being recognized by the quote-unquote industry. When Rex Foundation was formed in 1984, nobody was thinking about this kind of paradigm. And they, once again, had the vision to see things in a different way, do something innovative, and really wanting to make a difference in the world have succeeded.
What we're celebrating here is the larger world recognizing something that's just been going on all this time.
That's exactly right, David. I mean, you know, the Grateful Dead never lost sight of giving back, and I would say that also holds true for lots of the bands that emanated from San Francisco in the 60s. And if your band fellow friends who had a band and had lost their gear, there was a benefit that got you some money to go get some new gear. Or if the Haight-Ashbury Free Medical Clinic needed help, or the Diggers, everybody came together and raised some money and they were on their way again.
And yeah, you said, you know, that emanated from San Francisco, what also emanated from San Francisco and touched generations of other bands. And I've heard this said, and it just touched me beyond words. You know, I've talked to management people from some of the younger, from Fish. I say younger bands. Fish has been around for almost 40 years now. and Dave Matthews management, people like that. And they said, well, we were so inspired by the Grateful Dead's model, both in our business model and the way we interacted with our fans and also the way we do our philanthropy.
Right. At the time, it was considered somewhat blasphemous by the industry as a whole. The Grateful Dead always operated outside of the sphere of industry standards.
Yeah.
And that has now evolved to its own industry standard in a way. And the fact that philanthropy is part of it is amazing, you know, because there's a lot of need and there's a lot of reasons why people should be considering giving back no matter who they are.
Now, there were no organizations back then with the specificity of Music Cares or Sweet Relief, these organizations that understand how underinsured, underpaid, at medical risk so many musicians are. And the Grateful Dead addressed that. They addressed saving school music programs.
Correct.
And things like that. I remember when the Grateful Dead started, you know, like the only sort of centralized charity organizations were things like the United Way. And I remember someone saying, well, think of this as the United Way for us.
Well, I use that line a lot because it's true. You know, a lot of the organizations that we support are small grassroots organizations that maybe not many people have heard of, but, you know, at one point, Headcount was one of those organizations.
They fall between the cracks with conventional funding. Yeah,
That's right. And we actually thrive on finding organizations that are kind of living between the cracks and are doing really great work. That's our specialty.
Yeah, well over $10 million raised.
Yep, right? Yep. We've crossed the $10 million plateau, and we've given away close to 1,500 grants now.
Wow.
And they're all in increments of less than $10,000, and you know, that it's affected a lot of people in a lot of different places.
The Grateful Dead were on the leading edge of climate change activism, too. You know, they helped start the Rainforest Action Network.
Correct.
Because they saw this gathering threat. It's depressing to say that was 40 years ago, but it's true.
It is true. I mean, when we held the Rainforest benefit at Madison Square Garden, you know, we had a press conference at the UN. You know, I recall Jerry saying, you know, somebody asked him, well, Jerry, how does it feel to be pushing this agenda forward? And he says, frankly, it's a little discouraging because it shouldn't be up to us to have to do that. Again, the beneficiaries, Greenpeace, Rainforest Action Network, but also cultural survival, because the indigenous people in the rainforest were being impacted and they didn't have a microphone for their story to be told. And that again is indicative of the kinds of things that we want to invest in. You know?
Listen, Cameron, you're here for a party and a good dinner, so we're going to let you go. But it's always great to see you. It's always great to get the word out about Rex. You can go to rexfoundation.org and find out about all the good that Rex does, and you can contribute to it. You can volunteer for Rex. If you're a band that wants to stage an event for Rex, they welcome that.
Absolutely.
All sorts of younger bands, have just even if they're a local club, it doesn't have to be a big gala.
Absolutely.
Like this. Every little bit helps. Rex is all about community from the grassroots.
We're a big believer in community. Together, we're going to accomplish a lot. We have accomplished a lot. We're going to continue to accomplish a lot. And together, we'll make a difference in the world. So thank you guys for having me, and let's have some fun tonight.
Always a pleasure.
Right on.